RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Tourism Ministry explored direct Indonesian-South Korea flight. Minister Luhut confirms hostage of 7 Indonesian by Abu Sayyaf. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Tourism Ministry exploring the possibility of South Korean low-cost carrier LCC Sharpin a direct flight to Indonesia would help bring more tourists. After opening Bali Beyond and Travel Fair BBTF 2016 in Nusa Dua, Bali, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that he is exploring two LCCs, namely Jeju Air and Chin Air. It is possible that they would provide direct flights to Indonesia. Every year, the minister noted at least 20 million South Koreans travel abroad. On the sidelines of the opening of the BBTF 2016, Association of Indonesian Tours and Travel Agency ASITA signed a memorandum of understanding with Jeju Tourism Authority. The tourism cooperation between the two associations is expected to lead to mutual benefits and will also boost the number of South Koreans visiting Indonesia. Minister Arif Yahya also hopes that there will be more low-cost carriers serving flights from South Korea to Indonesia to achieve the target of 1 million tourists visiting the country by 2019. Chief Security Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan confirmed that 7 Indonesians had been held hostage by Abu Sayyaf militant groups. The citizen vote for Charles Tadbot owned by PT Rusianto Bersaudara sailing from Samarinda East Kalimantan early this month. However, TNI Chief Gatot Nurmanto denied the news, saying that he has deployed a team to investigate and found no clues. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi refused to comment, but he is planning to release a statement immediately. The news sparked when Dian Megawati Ahmad, a wife of one of the crewmen, said that he had been caught by his husband, who said that the captors asked for 20 million ringgit ransom. The planned plastic bag levy should be implemented gradually, considering that plastic is the main packaging material for food and beverage. Chairman of the Executive Board, the Indonesian Consumer Foundation, Tulus Abadi, said that the government must set the criteria for plastic subject to levy. Plastic packaging or bags with hazardous substance should be the top priority to minimize their use and to lower the environmental risk posed. He also hoped that the imposition of the levy for plastic bags or packaging would not hamper people's purchasing power. Earlier, the government had tried out the imposition of 200 rupiah charge per plastic bag sold to consumers. The rate was applied in all mini markets in Jakarta on April to June 2016. A Chinese-based financial institution, China's Export and Credit Insurance Corporation, Sinosure, will provide a loan for Media Nusantara Citra MMC Group to finance a teen-part project in Lido, Bogor, West Java. MMC's corporate secretary, Shafril Nasution, said that Sinosure will provide a loan worth $425 million, or 85% of the total budget for Bogor Disneyland region, $500 million US dollars or around 6.6 trillion rupiah. She no sure plans to provide a 15-year loan term. The teen part is part of a MMC Group's six-star resort in Lido. The contract signing for the project financing was carried out by MMC executive and investor last Friday. Bogor Disneyland will be built in 3,000-hectare resort at Los Angeles-based company owned by U.S. tycoon Donald Trump will be involved in the teen part project. It is the second MMC Tran deal, having previously agreed to the construction of an integrated resort in Tanalot, Bali. Ahead of the Idul Fitri homecoming session, 11 bus terminals in Jakarta held ramp check or safety checkup for the homecoming transport on Tuesday. Head of the UPT of Terminal for Jakarta Department of Transportation, Muhammad Faisal, admitted that most of the public transport failed to pass the test. Mostly they fell in the life category. The life category means that the transport have no medical kit box whatsoever, a malfunction wiper mechanism, having no safety hammer at all, and so on. However, based on the physical test, the transport indeed passed the test. The 11 bus terminal held the ramp check are Kampung Rambutan, Pulau Gadung, Kalidres, Tanah Merdeka, Tanjung Priok, Angke, Pasar Minggu, Pinang Ranti, Rawamangun, Grogol, and Rawabuaya. Personnel will remain standby at those 11 terminals based on temporary detainment. 1,200 vehicles, 16% or around 181 vehicles passed the test. The last item, Jakarta Provincial Government will propose an increase for vehicle ownership transport fees, BBNKB tax. Previously, the tax was 10%. Now it is proposed to be 15%. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama admitted the proposal is being proposed to City Council. The regulation will be managed under bylaw. Jakarta Head Department of Tax Service Agus Bambang Setio Widodo said that the highest tax of the vehicle ownership transfer fee is 20%. It is managed under the bill. Jakarta only applies up to 10% now. He added that the 15% of tax is calculated for a new vehicle. The regulation is managed under the bylaw number 2/2015 about vehicle tax. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitled is United Kingdom about to leave the European Union. Today, 23rd of June in London, the British people will make an history decision through a referendum. Remain a member of European Union or leave it.
this referendum would end uncertainty that has lasted long enough. The voting ends at around 10 p.m. UK time and the result is not informed yet until this commentary is being reported. Although the Electoral Commission expects that UK can announce the result of the referendum at breakfast time on Friday morning, June of 24th, at UK time, which is different around 7 hours from Indonesian time. In react to this referendum, the people of United Kingdom, UK, are divided into two opinions, remain a member of the European Union or leave it. If the referendum result that UK leaves for European Union, it will be the first country to leave the economic bloc. The European Union was formed in 1957 as European Economic Community, which was changed into European Union in 1993. This economic organization has emerged like a new country in the European continent. This organization has a constitution, parliament, currency, and even has its own president and capital. Its territory includes Ireland to Greece, with a population of 500 million people living in 28 countries. Prime Minister of United Kingdom David Cameron and most of his ministers do want the Great Britain to remain in the organization of European Union. But in fact, since joining in 1973, most of the British people have requested their state and government to be self-determined. Not because the country is separated from the mainland of Europe. They think without joining in the European Union, the UK remains victorious. The discourse of Brexit or Britain's exit from the European Union is getting more debated when more than half of UK parliamentary members, especially from the Conservative Party, want the vote for the organisation of the referendum. Strong criticism of the government of David Cameron also occurs because there are some ministers who are pro-Brexit. The question arises, what is the impact on UK if the result of referendum decides to leave the European Union? In one hand, the Great Britain must be ready to face the economic impact, especially in the fields of investment and trade. On the other hand, the country will be self-sufficient so that it could enjoy its positive impact. England was once a very powerful state whose colonies were in various parts of the world. Perhaps the country will feel much freer to determine its economic policies, including investment and trade, when leaving the European Union. Admittedly, the UK as a member of the European Union, it is the recipient of 20% of investment from European countries. The second impact is that if the UK will be better after leaving the economic pact, this can encourage other countries to follow the same step taken by the UK. But possibilities are not proven yet. So far, there is not any single country to have left its membership in the European Union. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from June 24, 1956. Colonel Gamal Abdel Nasser was chosen as Egyptian president. Gamal Abdel Nasser was the second president of Egypt and one of the most prominent Arab statesmen in history. In 1952, Gamal Abdel Nasser led the Egyptian armed forces in the coup that overthrew King Farouk. Finally, on February 25, 1954, Nasser became Egypt's head of state for the first time, replacing General Naguib. 2 years later, on June 21, 1956, Gamal Abdel Nasser became the sole candidate in the presidential election and was sworn in as Egypt's president for the second time. During his reign, Gamal Abdel Nasser evoked Arab nationalism. Nationalizing the Suez Canal resulted Suez Crisis, which made Egypt fight against France, Britain, and Israel, who have their own interests in the canal. The crisis ended with favorable decision of the International Community for Egypt, and the Suez Canal was officially declared under the sovereignty of Egypt. On June 24, 1973, Leonid Brezhnev declared Cold War was over. Leonid Brezhnev was the leader of Soviet Union of 1964 to 1982 period. Brezhnev was second time to serve as chairman of Presidium of the Soviet Supreme Council of 1960 to 1964 and 1977 to 1982. Meanwhile, Cold War is a period where conflict, tension, and competition occurred between the United States and its allies, called the Western Bloc, and the Soviet Union and its allies, called the Eastern Bloc, that occurred between 1947 and 1991. Competition occurred in various fields, both in industry, technology, development, defense, nuclear and armament race. It was feared that the war would end with nuclear war, but it did not happen. Although Brezhnev said that the Cold War has ended, but in reality, the situation remained unchanged until the collapse of the Soviet Union in early 90s. The term Cold War itself was introduced in 1947 by Bernard Baruch and Walter Lippmann from the United States to describe the relations between the two superpowers. We end today's segment of Today in History with the last event on June 24, 2010. Julia Gillard was elected as the 27th Prime Minister of Australia. Julia Ellen Gillard was born on September 29, 1961, is an Australian former politician who served as the 27th Prime Minister of Australia from 2010 to 2013. As leader of the Australian Labor Party, she previously served as the 13th Deputy Prime Minister of Australia and held the cabinet positions of Minister for Education, Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations, and Minister for Social Inclusion in 2007 to 2010. Gillard was first elected to the House of Representatives at the 1998 federal election. Following the 2001 federal election, she was elected to the Shadow Cabinet and was given the portfolio of Population and Immigration. In 2003, she took on the responsibility for both reconciliation and Indigenous affairs and health. In December 2006, when Kevin Rudd was elected as Labour leader and became leader of the opposition, Gillard was elected unopposed as his deputy. Upon Labour's victory in 2007 federal election, Gillard became the first female deputy prime minister of Australia. On June 24, 2010, after Kevin Rudd lost the support of his party and resigned, Julia Gillard was elected unopposed as the leader of the Labour Party, thus becoming the 27th Prime Minister of Australia. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today we'll talk about maintaining sovereignty in Natuna waters. Listener, Indonesian Navy, along with KRI Imam Bonjol 383, detained Chinese foreign flag fishing vessel that committed illegal fishing in Natuna waters on Friday, June 17, 2016. The detention of Chinese fishing vessel in the Indonesia's exclusive economic zone was the third incident after previously the Indonesian Navy detained Chinese vessel and arrested its crews in the Natuna waters in March and May 2016. Toward the incident, the Chinese government has strongly protested to Indonesia because they claim they engage the fishing in their territorial waters. Responding to the matter, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said Tuesday that TNI has conducted appropriate action by giving a warning shot as the vessel committed an illegal act. The Vice President also said the Indonesian government would not cast a protest note to the Chinese government related to the incident. Foreign Ministry just need to call the Chinese ambassador to Indonesia in order to describe the problem. Yusuf Kalla asserted the Indonesian government decided to act more decisively to protect its sovereignty in the waters of Natuna. Meanwhile, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said the action taken by the Navy to arrest the ship and Chinese crews in Natuna waters on Friday was a form of consistency in enforcing the law in the Indonesia's exclusive economic zone. According to Minister Retno, if similar action later record, the same attitude will be done by Indonesia because this is an Indonesian attitude to protect the economic zone and in accordance with the international law. Retno Marsudi explained the 7th crews are in good condition without any injuries. They are taken to Sabang Mawang Natuna for further investigation. Retno Marsudi also emphasized Indonesia and China do not have a problem of overlapping areas in the Natuna waters, so that the Chinese protest over the Navy's actions was groundless. She said Indonesia only have overlapping claims to the continental shelf and exclusive economic zone boundary with Vietnam and Malaysia, and it is still under discussion. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of Commission 1 of the House, T.B. Hasanuddin, in Jakarta Wednesday said the Chinese protest note related to the arrest of Chinese fishing boats in Natuna Sea last Friday is a commonplace. Therefore, it is not to be taken to cast the note, but instead, the case should be resolved by negotiations between the governments of Indonesia and China peacefully. In this regard, the governments of Indonesia and China need to negotiate to discuss the issue. Hasanuddin added, later in those negotiations should also be confirmed about the boundaries that has always been the main problem. He added that in the bargaining process that must be put forward in addition to the clarity of boundaries is to make sure about preventing back so that similar incidents do not happen again. That was the focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian Tourism Ministry is exploring the possibility of South Korean low-cost carrier LCC Sharpin a direct flight to Indonesia would help bring more tourists. Chief Security Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan confirmed that 7 Indonesians had been held hostage by Abu Sayyaf militant groups. The citizen word for Charles Todd boat owned by PT Rusianto Bersaudara Shalimpron Samarinda East Kalimantan early this month. The planned plastic belt levy should be implemented gradually considering that plastic is the main packaging material for food and beverage. Chairman of the Executive Board, the Indonesian Consumer Foundation, Tulus Abadi, said that the government must set the criteria for plastic subject to levy. A Chinese-based financial institution, China's Export and Credit Insurance Corporation, Sinosure, will provide a loan for Media Nusantara Citra MNC Group to finance a tin pot project in Lido Bogor, West Java. Ahead of the Idul Fitri homecoming session, 11 bus terminals in Jakarta held ram chat or safety chat checkup for the homecoming transport on Tuesday. Head of the UPT of Terminal for Jakarta Department of Transportation, Muhammad Faisal, admitted that most of the public transport failed to pass the test. Jakarta Provincial Government will propose an increase for vehicle ownership transfer fees tax. Previously, the tax was 10%. Now it is proposed to be 15%. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Aceh Province. Stay tuned. Sabang is a city located in Wai Island and a gateway in the western tip of Indonesia. Currently, Sabang has been transformed into Indonesian maritime destination that offers a paradise for divers. In this area, you can enjoy the beauty of the underwater world and discover hundreds of species of fish as well as a wealth of natural reefs. One of the places where you can enjoy the beauty of the sea is in Gapang Beach. Unlike other beaches in Indonesia, which generally sweltering, Gapang actually offers a shady seaside atmosphere. Listener, as the name suggests, Gapang Beach offers shady atmosphere and natural beauty. The name of Gapang was taken from the name of a large and shady tree. This type of tree is widely grown on the coast. Gapang Beach has white sand, very clear seawater, and calm waves, so the beach is an appropriate place to relax. In addition to recreation, Gapang Beach is a favorite spot for diving. You can rent snorkeling and diving equipment for 40,000 rupiah. On the beach, there is a diving center that provides equipment, training, and guide. With diving, you can enjoy the beauty of Sabang underwater with coral reefs and colorful fishes. If you do not want to dive, you can go to the pier. From the top of the pier, you can see the beauty of the coral reefs clearly. You can also see a variety of marine animals that roam among the rocks around the pier. Listener, for those who like photography, the nature around Gapang Island is still very natural, so you can capture many wonderful spots there. Gapang Beach has very complete facilities as there are many resorts that can be used to stay at an affordable price. Moreover, around the coast, there are also many restaurants to serve a variety of local culinaries. If you do not suitable with the local culinary, lots of dining options are available in Gapang Island, pampering you to other menus, including those the Western foods lovers. Listener, located about 17 kilometers or about 1 hour drive from Sabang city center, Gapang Beach is open every day. Except Friday, it is opened starting at 14,000 p.m. in honor of the Muslims who performing Friday prayer. Visiting the beach, the tourists have free of charge. If you take the beach through Banda Aceh, you can use a ferry that's sailing from Uliuliu to Balohan Sabang Port with a tariff 25,000 rupiah per person for one trip sail, depending on the type of ship. You can also bring along your personal vehicles, both two wheels and four wheels, with special tariffs starting from 29,000 rupiah per vehicle. The ferry serves 1 to 3 times sail per day, depending on weather conditions. Other alternatives by using a line that flies 3 times a week, serving the route from Kuala Namu Airport, Medan, to Maimun Saleh, Sabang Airport. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gapang Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. Indonesia is very rich with various culture, tourism and natural beauty, as well as many kinds of high-taste culinary. This Patan Sea is widely open from the most eastern part of Nanggroe Aceh, Darussalam, to the most western part of Papua, It makes Indonesia very famous as tourism destination country in the world. However, unfortunately, Indonesian tourism sector is still left far behind the neighboring countries such as Singapore and Malaysia. To boost foreign and domestic tourist visit, one of Indonesian provinces, namely Central Sulawesi, hold the Wonderful Palu Nomoni Festival 2016. And this is our topic for today's segment of Miscellany. Stay tuned. In September 2016, for those of you who like traveling, get ready to visit Palu, Central Sulawesi. The Wonderful Palu Nomoni Festival 2016 will present culture, tradition, and many kinds of competitions. The festival itself will be held from September 24 to 26, 2016. The launch of the Nomoni Palu Festival was held on Monday, June 20, 2016 at Susilo Sudirman Hall of Sabta Pesona Building, Jakarta. The Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya, Palu Mayor Hidayat, Palu Vice Mayor Sigit Purnomo Said, and Vice Governor of Central Sulawesi, Sudarto, beat the gong to mark the opening of the festival. According to Palu Mayor Hidayat, besides to promote Palu as the tourism destination in Central Sulawesi and fulfill the 500,000 domestic tourists and 25,000 foreign tourists as this year's target, the most important goal is to boost economy of Palu people. Hidayat also explained this annual festival has been held since 2008 with the name Palu Bay Festival. This year, it turns its title to be the Wonderful Palu Nomoni Festival. Nomoni, according to the local language, means sound. The first activity in the festival is to install torch in 520 spots along the 7.2 kilometers road. Then the flute and traditional drum will make a sound as the torch is lit that will mark the opening of the festival. The second activity is to do the tradition. There are also available cultural stages in 7.2 kilometers long road. What makes this festival unique is all tourists will ride dokar or horse carriage during the festival. The Wonderful Palu Nomoni Festival 2016 will also hold a marathon that consisted of three categories of competition. Firstly, full marathon, which is 42 kilometers, then half marathon 21 kilometers, as well as 10 kilometers and 5 kilometers category, with a total prize of 400 million rupiah. Listener, that was our today's edition of Miscellany entitled The Wonderful Palu Nomoni Festival 2016. I'm Nuka Kusmawati, thank you for listening, and we meet again in the next edition of Miscellany. Thank you.
again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Nuka, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern. Today's edition will present to you Siti Badriah, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Terong Dicabein by Siti Badriah. 2014, the Indonesian dangdut world became more lively with the presence of Siti Badriah, a brand new talent in dangdut music genre. She was known widely when she released her first album entitled Satu Sama. There were 16 songs in the albums, and one of the songs entitled Barabere became a hit and brought Siti Badriah's name as one of the rising star in the Indonesian dangdut industry. Listener, before we go any further, let's listen to another song by Siti Badriah.
Apakah aku telah melanggar hukum?
listener, let's talk a little bit about Siti Badriah. She was born on November 11, 1991. Along with other fellow dangdut singer, Siti Badriah brings back dangdut music genre to its glorious position in Indonesian music industry. Siti Badriah released her second album in 2015 with a hit song entitled Suamiku Kawin Lagi to show her consistency in Indonesia's dangdut world. Well, listener, to wrap up our today's music corner, let's listen to two songs by Siti Badriah entitled Tobat Maksiat and Mama Minta Pulsa. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.